dangerous beliefs, the nocebo effect. Just as the belief that we've been given a healing agent can flood our bodies with life-affirming chemistry, the opposite can happen if we believe that we're in a life-threatening situation. It's called the nocebo effect. A number of landmark studies have proven beyond any reasonable doubt that the nocebo effect is just as powerful, but in the opposite direction, as the placebo effect. According to Arthur Barsky, a psychiatrist at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, it's the patient's expectation, the belief that a treatment either won't work for them or will have harmful side effects, that plays what he calls a significant role in the outcome of the treatment. Even when patients are given a treatment that's proven useful in the past, if they believe it's of little or no value to them, that belief can have a powerfully negative effect. I remember reading about an experiment reported a few years ago on people who were having respiratory problems. I also remember thinking, I'm happy I'm not one of those people being experimented on. In the tests, people who were known to have asthma were given a vapor that the researchers told them was a chemical irritant. Although the vapor was only an atomized saline solution, they believed it was an irritant and almost half developed breathing problems, with some experiencing a full-blown asthma attack. When they were told they were being treated with another healing substance, they recovered immediately. In reality, however, the new treatment was only saline and water as well. In their book, The Science Behind Folk Remedies and Old Wives' Tales, Robert and Michelle Root Bernstein summarized the power of this unexpected effect, stating, "The nocebo effect can reverse the body's response to true medical treatment from positive to negative." Similar to the way physicists have discovered that the expectations of the observers during an experiment influence the outcome of the experiment. A doctor stating, "Well, we'll try this treatment and see what it does. It might help a little," can make or break its success. It's for this very reason that even the slightest hint from a doctor that the treatment may not work can be devastating to the success of that treatment. It can be so devastating, in fact, that it can kill. The famous Framingham Heart Study, initiated under the direction of the National Heart Institute, now known as the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, in 1948, documented the power of just such an effect. The study began with 5,209 men and women, all from Framingham, Massachusetts, and all between the ages of 30 and 62. The purpose of the study was to follow a cross-section of people over a long period of time to identify the then unknown factors of heart disease. In 1971, the program began a second study based on the children of the original group, and the research has now begun to recruit a third group of grandchildren from the original group. Well, every 2 years, the participants are evaluated for the risk factors that have been found throughout the study. Although the study group represents a broad cross-section of people from a variety of lifestyles, the discovery that the participants' belief played a role in their risk for heart disease was surprising to the researchers. Of the many statistics drawn from the study, correlations showed that women who believed they are prone to heart disease were nearly 4 times as likely to die as the women with similar risk factors who didn't believe. While medical science may not fully understand why the effect exists, it's clear beyond any reasonable doubt that there's a powerful link between what we believe about our bodies and the quality of life and healing that actually occurs. But does the effect stop there? Does the power of our belief end at the boundary defined by the flesh and bones of our body, or does it go further? If so, does the effect explain the things that we've called miracles in the past? Beliefs that change our world. One of the most powerful examples of group feeling and belief affecting a broad geographic area was documented as a daring experiment during the first war between Lebanon and Israel in the early 1980s. It was during that time that the researchers trained a group of 200 people to feel peace in their bodies, while believing that it was already present within them, rather than simply to think about peace in their minds or pray for peace to occur. Those involved use specific techniques of meditation to create the inner experiences of peace that were mirrored in the world around them. The effect is called the Maharishi effect, in honor of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who stated that when a certain percentage of a population practiced the techniques of meditation that he offered, there would be a reduction in violence and crime for that population. During the Israeli-Lebanese War, practitioners were trained in precise techniques of transcendental meditation to create peace in their bodies. On specific days of the month, at specific times of the day, these people were positioned throughout the war-torn areas of the Middle East. During the window of time that they were feeling peace, terrorist activities stopped. Crimes against people declined. Emergency hospital room visits declined, and traffic accidents dropped. When the people stopped their feelings, the statistics reversed. These studies confirm the earlier findings. When a small percentage of the population achieved peace within themselves, that peace was reflected in the world around them. The study became known as the International Peace Project in the Middle East, and the results were eventually published in the Journal of Conflict Resolution in 1988. While these and similar studies obviously deserve more exploration, the key is that they show an effect here that's beyond chance. The quality of our innermost beliefs clearly influences the quality of our outer world. From this perspective, everything from the healing of our bodies to the peace between nations, from our success in business, relationships, and careers to the failure of marriages and the breakup of families, all must be considered as reflections of us and of the meaning that we give to the experiences of our lives. Historically, to suggest that what we believe in our hearts and minds can somehow have any effect whatsoever upon our bodies is a very different way of seeing things, a real stretch. And even to those comfortable with the mind-body relationship within us, to suggest that our beliefs can affect the world beyond our bodies is simply out of the question. For others, however, it's right up their alley. For those who have been raised with a holistic view of the world, beliefs' power is completely aligned with what they've always believed. For everyone, however, the universal power of belief offers us the ability to change the pain, suffering, war, and lack in life, and to do so by choice. In what may be one of the greatest, and to some, perhaps the most bizarre of ironies, however, there's one condition that must be met before we can unleash the power of beliefs in our lives. Summarized in Belief Code 11, this condition states that we must believe in belief to tap its power in our lives. It's this very condition sometimes that makes it difficult to give serious consideration to the power of belief. In other words, while miraculous healings are possible and synchronicities abound in our lives, we must be open to them and willing to accept them to receive their benefits. We need a reason to believe in them. And this is where the distinction between belief and faith and science really comes in. Belief, faith, and science. Today, we're at a pivotal time when three major ways of knowing, belief, faith, and science, are being tested against the reality of our everyday world. When we're asked how we know something is true, we generally rely upon assumptions that come from one or some combination of these ways of seeing the world to answer that question. While science distinguishes itself through the obvious characteristics of facts and proof, the distinction sometimes is not so clear between belief and faith. In fact, people often use these two words interchangeably. Maybe the best way to make the distinction that's so important for this book is through an example. If I have a history of running marathons and someone asks me if I can complete one in the near future, my answer would be yes. It would be based upon the fact of my having completed marathons in the past and my belief that I could do so again at some point in the future. There's no reason to suspect differently. So in this example, I can say that I believe in my ability to finish the race, and my belief is based upon the evidence of direct experience. Now, let's say that I receive an information package from the marathon producers in the mail a week later and discover an important piece of information that they neglected to tell me originally. Suddenly, I discovered that the finish line for the marathon is at the top of Pikes Peak Mountain in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at 14,000 feet above sea level. Now, I'm in a different position. While it's true that I have run the 26.2-mile long races in the past, and I have completed them successfully, what is also true is that I've never run one at such a high altitude. So now I don't have the evidence that I can finish this race successfully. Although I have no reason to believe that I can't, I simply have never done it before, so I have to speculate about my success. My speculation is based in faith, because I have no direct evidence to support my success. While this may seem like a silly example, it illustrates the difference between faith and belief. Belief is based in evidence. While our faith in something may have evidence as well, the key here is it doesn't have to. To a person of faith, the evidence is unnecessary. Interestingly, in modern times, faith and belief are used so interchangeably that even the Merriam-Webster dictionary uses the words to define one another. The word faith, for example, is defined as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. The same dictionary identifies belief as a synonym for faith, yet defines it with a very important distinction, stating that it comes from the conviction of the truth of some statement, especially when based on examination of evidence. Clearly, it's the proven facts that set science apart from faith and belief. Although the facts can change and often do as new conditions are discovered, the definition of science is widely accepted as being the knowledge obtained and tested through the scientific method. In every sense of the definition, exploring our power of belief as a consistent, repeatable, and learnable experience is a science. In other words, if we do certain things in a certain way and believe in a certain way, we can expect a certain outcome. When we think of belief this way, we can consider it as a science. To unlock the mystery of belief as a science may be one of the most pivotal discoveries that we could make in the modern world. With this discovery, we may find that we've given ourselves the power to change the conditions of pain and suffering that have ravaged our world for as long as anyone can remember. Belief defined. The reasons why something as simple as belief holds such power could fill volumes. In the last section, we describe belief as something that is more than faith without facts. Belief is beyond simple agreement and compromise. For the purposes of our discussions, we'll define belief as an experience that happens in both our minds and our bodies. And this leads to our 13th belief code, the definition that states belief is the certainty that comes from accepting what we think is true in our minds, coupled with what we feel is true in our hearts. Belief is a universal experience that we may share and develop as a powerful agent of change. To experience the power of beliefs, we need to understand them on a nuts and bolts level, precisely how they're formed and where they live in our body. While our beliefs are closely associated with feelings of the heart, they fall into a category that works a little differently from simple feelings like anger or joy. When we identify this subtle yet powerful difference, it becomes obvious how we may change our beliefs when they no longer serve us.